June 18th, 1991, 1 p.m., Hearing Room 357, House Committee on Judiciary, Full Committee.
You're testifying?
The House Judiciary Committee will come to order.
Clerk, call the roll.
House Judiciary Committee will come to order. Chairman Miller asked me to start the committee as he is down in rules.
Todd?
Can't hear a thing.
Are we on, Jeff? Chairman Miller asked me to start the committee, the full committee, and get us substantially through the bills on our agenda today. We will then go into, assuming the chairman is back, we will go into the subcommittee on crime and corrections, which will hear, among other things, the tobacco bills. The agenda of the full committee today includes Senate Bill 427, Senate Bill 1199, Senate Bill 147, Senate Bill 596, Senate Bill 754, Senate Bill 3589, House Bill 3589, House Bill 2732, Senate Bill 404, and House Bill 2673. We will open the work session on Senate Bill 427. Counsel.
Mr. Chair, members of the committee, Senate Bill 427 revises the State Bar Act to conform the State Bar's organic legislation to current practice areas of admission and attorney-client privilege. The one major change that the subcommittee made was to delete the provisions banning attorneys from practicing as business corporations. You need to designate a carrier and move the -3 amendments.
Thank you, counsel.
Move the -3.
We're in work session. Representative Edmondson moves the -3 amendments. Discussion of that motion. Is there objection to that motion? -3 amendments are adopted.
It moved the bill as amended.
Thank you. Representative Parks moves Senate Bill 427 as amended to the floor with a due pass recommendation. Further discussion? Clerk will call the roll.
Representative Baum?
Yes.
Representative Bellman?
Aye.
Representative Bell?
Aye.
Representative Bryan?
Aye.
Representative Clark?
Aye.
Representative Edmondson?
Aye.
Representative Johnson?
Aye.
Representative Mason?
Aye.
Representative Parks?
Aye.
Representative Sinceri?
Aye.
Senate Bill 427 passed to the floor. Representative Mason will be asked to carry the bill. Close the work session on Senate Bill 427 and open the work session on Senate Bill 1199. Counsel.
Mr. Chair, members of the committee, under current law, a property owner does not have to clean up hazardous waste spilled by somebody else on the property owner's property while the property owner owns the property. This bill extends that provision to landowners who buy property after the spill has taken place. It conforms Oregon law to federal law. There are no amendments.
Thank you, counsel.
Move the bill.
Representative Edmondson moves Senate Bill 1199A to the floor with a due pass recommendation. Further discussion? Hearing none, clerk will call the roll.
Representative Baum?
Yes.
Representative Bellman?
Aye.
Representative Bell?
Aye.
Representative Bryan?
Aye.
Representative Edmondson?
Aye.
Representative Johnson?
Aye.
Representative Mason?
Aye.
Representative Parks?
Aye.
Representative Sinceri?
Aye.
Chair Clark?
Chair votes aye. Senate Bill 1199 is passed to the floor. Representative Edmondson, please carry the bill. Close the work session on Senate Bill 1199 and open the work session on Senate Bill 147. Counsel.
Mr. Chair, members of the committee, Senate Bill 147 authorizes the State Board of Pharmacy to regulate out-of-state drug outlets selling drugs in Oregon. The principal issue before the subcommittee was whether the board's regulation of these out-of-state companies violates the Commerce Clause of the United States Constitution. It's my opinion that the authority to regulate does not itself violate the Commerce Clause. It's possible that someday the board could promulgate some regulation that might violate the Commerce Clause, but as currently things currently stand now, there shouldn't be a problem.
Mr. Chair.
Thank you, counsel. Representative Bryan.
Move Senate Bill 147A engrossed to the floor, due pass.
Representative Bryan moves Senate Bill 147 to the floor, due pass recommendation. Further discussion?
I wonder if you could explain your no vote, Representative Clark.
Can I explain my no vote?
Sorry.
That's the way to go. Put him on the spot.
Representative Bryan, can you explain my no vote?
It had to do with the
You were...
No, I remember now.
You were reserving your vote and wanted to pursue the...
To look at the Attorney General opinions.
Right. It was a concern on the Commerce Clause issue. I think I agree with counsel. It is an issue. I'm not sure that it's one that's perhaps a problem for this bill.
At the time, God and Kelly Clark knew, and now only God knows.
Right.
Ooh, nice one.
Further discussion on the bill.
Mary Marion, bringing it to us again.
Sister Catherine.
It's Sister Mary Catherine.
Thank you, Sister Mary Catherine. Further discussion.
The poem was pretty classy on the floor this morning.
Thank you.
All right.
We have a motion. Representative Bryan has moved Senate Bill 147 to the floor. Further discussion. Hearing none, the clerk will call the roll.
Representative Baum?
Yeah.
Representative Baumann?
Aye.
Representative Bell?
Aye.
Representative Bryan?
Aye.
Representative Edmondson?
Aye.
Representative Johnson?
Aye.
Representative Mason?
Aye.
Representative Parks?
Aye.
Representative Cesari?
Yes.
Chair Clark?
Chair votes aye. Senate Bill 147 is passed to the floor. Representative Bryan?
Yes.
Thank you. We'll close the work session on Senate Bill 147 and open the work session on Senate Bill 596. Representative Bryan.
Mr. Chair, since the subcommittee moved on this, representative of the District Attorneys Association has requested that district attorneys and deputy district attorneys be added to the laundry list of categories and persons who can request exemption from DMV disclosure. And I guess I would need to move, either ask for unanimous consent to suspend the rules to make that amendment at this time. On your dash A5, it would be item K by line 8.
Okay, committee, what we would need to do is we would need either a two-thirds vote or a unanimous consent to suspend the rules to allow a substantive amendment to take place in
Mr.
the full
Chair,
committee.
Mr. Chair, then I'd ask for unanimous consent to suspend the rules.
Representative Baumann requests unanimous consent that we suspend the rules for the purpose of making a substantive amendment to Senate Bill 596. Representative Parks.
Where did we end up in the amendment process? I was there. I wondered how you pushed out for that. Where did we end up on this bill in the committee? Was the A5 amendment adopted?
Okay.
Mr. Chair, Representative Parks, no, that would need to be done now.
I'm just going to make this observation. I'm just carrying this bill because I was on the Transportation Committee. This bill makes a substantial improvement denying access to people just walking in off the street, or it's really slowing that down. What I'm kind of concerned about is putting this laundry list of all these people in the DAs and judges and so forth, that you're going to bog it down and kill it. The DAs, the judges, and these other people would be better off with the bill as it is than to have no bill at all, because it would limit the kind of people that do pose a potential problem to them. And I'm not going to object to add them in, but I think that's a substantial, that's exactly what the Senate ran into when they tried to do what we're doing, is everybody and his brother wants on the bill as a special exception, and that ended up killing the Senate, and I'm kind of reluctant to see that happen here, because we will have a very good improvement in a very limited area, and I think we jeopardized that by putting all these other folks on. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
The request is for unanimous consent to suspend the rules. Is there any objection? Hearing none, rules are suspended, and we need a motion on the amendment.
Mr. Chair.
Representative Bryan.
On page 1 of the Senate Bill 596-A5, after line 8, insert item K, district attorneys or deputy district attorney. Period.
Representative Bryan moves in the appropriate place in the bill that we insert district attorneys within the bill's purview. Further discussion, or to your motion? Further discussion? Any other further discussion of that motion? Is there objection to that motion?
I'm going to object to it, but I don't want to vote. I just want it on record.
All right. Representative Parks' objection so noted for the record. Otherwise, the motion is adopted.
I'd move the bill, Mr. Chairman.
Representative Parks moves Senate Bill 596 as amended to the floor with a due pass recommendation. Further discussion. I'm sorry.
I want to back up.
Did we
move
pass?
The A5 amendment.
Representative Parks withdraws that motion, moves the A5 amendments.
Discussion? Is there objection? Adopted. Representative Parks moves Senate Bill 596 as amended to the floor with a due pass recommendation. Further discussion? Clerk will call the roll.
Representative Bond?
Yes.
Representative Bauman?
Aye.
Representative Bell?
Aye.
Representative Bryan?
Aye.
Representative Edmonds?
Aye.
Representative Johnson?
Aye.
Representative Mannix?
Aye.
Representative Mason?
Aye.
Representative Parks?
Aye.
Representative Sinceri?
Aye.
Representative Miller?
Votes aye.
Chair Clark?
Aye.
Chair Lyon?
Aye.
No.
Oh, Senate Bill 596, having received the required votes, passed the floor. Representative Parks, carry the bill.
Thank you.
That's very good.
And close the work session on Senate Bill 596 and give the gavel back to the chairman.
Thank you. Right here. Yeah. Thank you. We'll open up a work session on Senate Bill 754. Council?
Mr. Chair, members of the committee, this is the ever-popular Ways of Necessity bill. You have in front of you the Dash 6 amendments that have been prepared at the request of Representative Johnson. It's my understanding that this version now represents what Representative Johnson had in mind, which is that a landowner can get a right-of-way across a neighbor's land to a public road if two conditions are fulfilled. First, building on the available roadway would cost more than 20% of the value of the landowner's property, and two, building the roadway across the neighbor's land would not reduce the value of the neighbor's land by more than 20%.
Thank you, Council. Discussion, Senate Bill 754.
Mr. Chairman.
Representative Johnson.
I think we need, I've just seen these today, and I think we have one very minor technical correction I'd like to make to it to make sure that there's no ambiguity about which land the first 20% test applies to. On page 2 of the bill, at line 13, and again on line 20, the property should just be replaced with the words petitioner's land. That will make it parallel with the second 20% test, which talks about the burdened land. So we're clear on what we're talking about when we apply these tests. So with those amendments, and the same change would need to be made on line 18 of page 4, and I'd ask that we...
Wherever required to conform to that.
Right. This it's
an intention very, that was announced at the subcommittee.
It's a very clean technical amendment. I'd like to have that made.
Council,
before we vote.
Track with that. Sir, discussion of the amendment, objection to its adoption, hearing. There is objection to the,
well,
the amendment?
Go ahead and adopt the amendment. I'll talk about
it. Thank you, Mr. Vice Chair. Amendment is adopted. Further discussion on the bill as amended?
Mr. Chair,
Mr. Vice Chair,
with all respect, I think that having been through one of these ways and necessity cases, it's going to be just about impossible to do through one of these cases. This is going to be a not foolproof. There aren't that many of these cases, but this is absolute landmine or gold mine, maybe a landmine, to use gold mine for some property assessors here. How do you prove that 20% diminution or increase? I have no idea, and it's just very, very impractical. Representative Johnson, with all due respect, it just isn't going to work.
Mr. Chair.
Thank you, Mr. Vice Chair. Representative Parks, then Representative Johnson.
I'd like to speak in behalf of Representative Johnson's amendment. I've done several of these cases. They're just difficult emotionally. I think this is an improvement on the system we have. It gives some guidance to the judge, and it gives a sense of legislative intent where there is none if you go to look for it. Now, these are never going to be good cases. They are good cases from the lawyer's point of view. they are never going to be good cases for the clients, but I think this is an improvement. I think Representative Johnson has...
Right here, Representative Miller, if I know where we are in the program.
Mr. Chairman.
Yes, thank you. Representative Johnson.
I appreciate that the proof of value and the proof of the cost of a road and things like that are difficult proof problems, but given that we have a judicial system that's designed to resolve fact issues, we've given them clear direction as to what they can and can't do given the facts, and we have a finder of fact system, whether it's a judge or a jury, and just because it's difficult to determine the fact doesn't mean that ultimately some decisions don't have to be based on facts as they're found in a judicial proceeding. So I'd like to just go forward with this.
Thank you. Further discussion, Representative Bryan?
A question is, if A had a $100,000 residential property and B owned a lot behind it, which was, let's say, landlocked, is this saying that B could force a driveway being put over A's property if it only devalued A's property $10,000 or $15,000?
Right, but the
Representative John.
Decrease in value would be paid for just as it is now. I mean, he'd have to pay for any decrease in value. The thing we've added is a protection to the neighbor so that if it decreases his value by more than 20%, he can just say no, even if the moving party wants to pay him for it. And so that's an improvement over the existing law.
Thank you, Representative Bryan. At the end of your
line
of penetrating questions, Representative Sanzari.
Did I understand, Representative Johnson, you to say that the person has to pay the diminished value?
Absolutely.
Of the
absolutely.
If we have a situation that deals with aesthetic value, in other words, you punch a road across somebody's meadow and you can't see the mountain or something like that because of the road or something that's subjective, how do you deal with that?
Well, all those subjective factors are part of the value judgment that has to be made. And I, again, recognizing there's a lot of different things that apply to a value of a piece of property, people determine what is the quote value of a piece of property every day when they decide what to pay for one when somebody wants to sell it. And all the factors, including the aesthetic factors, come to play in that. And to the extent you reduce the aesthetic factors, that's going to affect the price. And there's really no other way to measure those kinds of things.
Further discussion? Is there a motion on the bill?
Mr. Chair, I move the bill to the floor with a due pass recommendation.
Representative Johnson moves Senate Bill 754 with the technical amendments as incorporated to the floor, due pass recommendation. Further discussion? Hearing none. Clerk, call the roll.
Representative Baum?
Yes.
Representative Bauman?
Aye.
Representative Bell?
Aye.
Representative Bryan?
No.
Representative Clark?
Aye.
Representative Edmondson?
Aye.
Representative Johnson?
Aye.
Representative Mannix?
Aye.
Representative Mason?
No.
Representative Parks?
Aye.
Representative Sinceri?
Aye.
Chair Miller?
Votes aye. Senate Bill 754 is passed to the floor. Representative Johnson, are you...
Mr. Chairman, I think I'd... you have Mr. Markham, Representative Markham down there now, but we've agreed that I probably should carry the bill.
Well, this is an important bill, Representative Jones. But all right, maybe we'll make Representative Markham a co-carrier.
I didn't want to take a chance.
Yeah, fine. You're watching very carefully. Thank you, Representative Markham. Close the work session, Senate Bill 754.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
You bet.
You may want to wait and thank him later.
Yeah. Thank
open
you.
Up a work session.
Later.
House Bill 27. That's gone. Senate Bill 404. Oh, yes. Council.
Mr. Chair, members of the committee, recently the Oregon Government Ethics Commission has been investigating the propriety of judges charging fees for performing weddings. Senate Bill 404 would make it clear that judges may collect fees for weddings. And there are A7 amendments which caps the amount of fees they can collect at $100 plus allows them to recover actual costs.
Thank you, Council. Discussion of Senate Bill 404. Representative Parks.
Why should judges be paid for performing weddings when they're already paid by the public? I would not have committed, so I'd just like to understand the rationale.
Mr. Chair.
Representative Park.
Let me take a shot at this. The problem was, the issue brought to us was not so much whether or not the judges should be paid, but the semantics, which is the word that one of the witnesses used, the semantics problem that judges run into on the question of honoraria. And my understanding is that the Ethics Commission has basically said that if a judge performs a wedding and is offered an honorarium, the judge may accept the honorarium.
However, the judge can't call that a fee, and the judge can't say what his fee or honorarium customarily is if asked, and so it puts the judges in kind of an ethical dilemma. The bill attempts to, first of all, to clarify that, and secondly, as to the question that you ask as to why should the judges be allowed to do this, the testimony we received that very few judges, in fact, do this, but when they do, it's almost always on the weekends. They take their personal time to do this, and in addition to being reimbursed for actual expenses such as mileage and stuff, they accept honoraria. And those, including myself on the committee, who felt this was an appropriate practice, were convinced that this is not something that's being abused out there. And we don't pay judges very much. And if we're convinced there's not an ethical problem with it and there's not a potential for abuse, it seems like that we ought. There was no compelling argument for changing that practice.
Well, Representative Parks?
Here's a compelling argument. I'm going to vote against it. I was a judge. Frankly, I think we pay the judges a fair salary in this state. And I think it's just poor public policy. I think it's poor public policy for citizens to be giving money to judges, even for weddings. I just think it's a real poor idea, and I'm going to vote against it.
Thank you, Representative Parks. Representative Baum?
I would just...
And then Representative Bryan?
Representative Parks said it right. This is not a good idea. We're working on trying to get rid of our own honorarium and paying these folks, I think, $65,000 plus dollars a year, if that's correct, not including benefits, is an adequate compensation. And for them to be charging $100 or so a ticket for weddings plus expenses puts them in much the position of our Congress people, where we find people doing a lot of things related to their job, which they get paid adequately for. And I would just hope that we would try to draw the line, because I think some of these judges have made substantial dollars outside of this, like $5,000 to $10,000 for doing this, and you don't have to do it. There's other ways to be married, and other public officials, and other times that it can be done. So I'm going to vote no.
Mr. Chairman. Thank you, Representative Baum. Representative Bryan.
Mr. Chair, I might just say for the record that the Government Ethics Commission director that testified on this did object to the bill and would only support reimbursement of expenses only. They did not support an honorarium. And I had made a motion to adopt just the amendment that limited it to reimbursement of charges and expenses, which did not pass.
Mr. Chairman?
Further admiration for Representative Mannix.
We had a lot of testimony on this bill in subcommittee, and I say a lot, not from a lot of people, but we did a lot of discussion with the limited number of people who were there to discuss this issue. And we hemmed and hawed. We talked about honorarium, and then we talked about the point that if it's an honorarium, you can't really ask for it. If it's a fee, it's something that you're charging, but it may sound like a government fee. We came down to the concept of personal payment, because some of us accept the notion that really we're trying to encourage judges to make themselves available on weekends for weddings. They have no obligation to do this. This is you know, it's not part of the regular in-court duties. Anyone who wants a free judge for a free wedding ceremony can go to the courthouse during regular hours and get it. But this was a bill designed to encourage judges to make themselves available on Saturdays, which are the usual days people who have ceremonies get married on, and to allow them to recoup their expenses and have some sort of income for it. And sure, we could say judges are on call 24 hours a day, therefore they should go anywhere to do weddings. The reality is they have no statutory obligation to go out and do a wedding on a Saturday. We tried to do a little trade-off here and say, okay, $100 as your fee plus actual costs. That was the compromise that we tried to come up with, and I'd encourage the committee to support that compromise.
Thank you, Representative Mannix. Further discussion, Representative Bell?
I would just say that I don't believe we pay our judges enough to have them be on call every weekend of their life. And if they were in private practice, those of them who are attorneys, they would certainly make more than their $100 if they took 5 hours out to go up to Timberline Lodge and perform a wedding. And so I think by putting that cap on there, we're certainly not putting them in line for bribes and graft and corruption, as might seem to be the case. I think they're going to have to actually work for that money, and it's not a very high payment, considering what they could do probably in private practice.
Mr. Chairman.
Representative Johnson.
It's important that we remember that we're not prohibiting judges from getting paid for doing weddings. They can already get paid, and they do get paid, so that's not what this bill is all about. The only thing this bill does is make it legal for them to say ahead of time, this is what I'd like to get paid to do this wedding. Right now, if they go to a wedding and somebody wants to give them $100, that's great. If they want to give them $500, that's great under current law. If they want to give them $1,000, that's great. This bill at least puts a limit in there, and it just seems really silly and artificial for us to say that the judge can go to a wedding and then take a $100 bill and stick it in his pocket, and that's all right. But if his secretary takes the call earlier in the week and tells the caller, well, he'll charge you $100 to do this wedding, then all of a sudden he's a terrible person. And last thing I'd like to say is that even after pointed questioning of the main opponent of the bill, he was not able to articulate any evil that this bill would create. There's just nothing wrong out there that this bill will cause to happen. Other than it's just maybe not tradition for judges not to be able to have their secretaries tell people it cost them $100.
Mr. Chair, we don't have to really hear from everybody, but I'm going to vote no on this bill. Nobody has to be a judge, and no judge has to perform marriage ceremonies. It's just simple. I suppose part of my comment might be it's already very easy to get married, and a lot of people do, and it's a lot harder to get divorced, and a lot of judges are kept busy doing that too, and that's just kind of automatic during working days. So I suppose we don't have to quibble over what they get paid for that. But I'm also concerned. I guess if I were a judge, an elected official, and a constituent asked me to perform a marriage, that I feel that since it would be up to me anyway, whether I felt like doing that or not, on my time or not, that that might be a good way for me to maintain my presence and the goodwill of a community in a way that is also totally acceptable, ethical, and can't do any harm. So I guess my feeling is, I kind of am going to object to the list on the judge's wall that says, wedding, simple ceremony, ceremony with extras, distance per mile, and has the chart like mine, double Jamocha fudge ice cream cone at a 31 flavors.
Thank you, Representative Bauman.
Mr. Chairman.
Representative Parks.
I'd like to move the bill back to committee, to the subcommittee, for the purpose of limiting it to recovery of actual expenses.
You can speak to your motion. Representative Parks moves Senate Bill 404 be referred to the subcommittee on civil law. To your motion, Representative Parks.
I think there is a distinction between recovering actual out-of-pocket expenses and receiving a fee for performing a service that you already paid for. It still just really grates me the wrong way for judges to be collecting money.
Thank you, Representative Parks. Representative Clark?
Mr. Chair, with respect to Representative Parks, I would oppose the motion simply for the reason that the subcommittee already considered that amendment and rejected it.
Further discussion of the motion?
Yeah, I'd be happy to have it back.
Their objection to the motion?
Yes.
Oh, the clerk will call a roll on the motion to return Senate Bill 404 to the Subcommittee on Civil Law.
Representative Baum?
Yes.
Representative Bauman?
Of course.
Representative Bell?
No.
Representative Bryan?
Yes.
Representative Clark?
No.
Representative Edmondson?
Yes.
Representative Johnson?
No.
Representative Mannix?
No.
Representative Mason?
No.
Representative Parks?
Yes.
Representative Sinceri?
No.
Chair Miller?
Hey, Mr. Chairman.
Yeah. It's 10 to 10.
That's a thriller.
6 to 5.
Oh, yeah.
Just I vote no. Votes no. The motion fails.
Mr. Chairman.
Close call there, Representative Parks.
Very close. Further discussion on the bill.
Mr. Chairman.
Representative Mannix.
I move the A7 amendments.
Representative Mannix moves the dash A7 amendments to Senate Bill 404. Discussion of the amendments. Is there objection to their adoption? Hearing none, they are adopted. For the motion on the bill is...
Mr. Chairman.
Representative Mannix.
Move the bills amended to the floor. Do pass.
Representative Mannix moves Senate Bill 404 to the floor. Do pass recommendation. Further discussion? Hearing none. Clerk, call the roll.
Representative Baum?
No.
Oh.
Representative Bauman?
No.
Representative Bell?
Aye.
Representative Bryan?
No.
Representative Clark?
Aye.
Representative Edmondson?
No.
Representative Johnson?
Aye.
Representative Mannix?
Aye.
Representative Mason?
Aye.
Representative Parks?
No.
Representative Sinceri?
No.